It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along as well, as always, with Daniel Pryor, the Sound Mind broadcast here on KCIS. Been on for about a year now, I think, holding down the Tuesday afternoon slot in our midday magazine. And sometimes you hear his shows on the weekend as well. Good morning, good afternoon, Daniel.
Good morning, good afternoon, Mark.
As we're recording.
You caught me there, didn't
we're
you?
We're recording in the morning, but we're hearing this in the afternoon. Hey, this week we're continuing to look at the foundations of marriage, some of the best foundations for marriage. And you wanted to recap a little bit of what we heard last week. Now, all of your shows are on podcasts on your website.
At the BibleBasedCounselor.com.
BibleBasedCounselor.com.
So if you're thinking of getting married or you know someone that's in that group, these two shows, the show we did last week on just basically things to consider before you get married, and we're continuing that this week, those will be at the podcast. And so you can listen to it over and over.
And you talked a little bit about personality tests, pros and cons on last week's show. Did you want to review anything from last week's show?
Just that, you know, that's one of the things that people are going to probably expect if they get pre-marriage counseling. A lot of it now, a lot of places will give some sort of a personality inventory, and the fact that you can't you can't rely on those, nor are you likely to. I think when a couple has decided that they're going to get married, they kind of treat pre-marriage counseling as kind of a bump in the road. Get beyond
an obligation.
And so if a personality test were to come out and to show that, in fact, my wife and I, our personality test would have probably showed us, don't do it.
Because we're both
born in May, and they say, you know, people born in May should never marry one another and that
they
sort
say
of thing.
That.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're both, you know, strong-willed, kind of bullheaded sometimes, and lots of things to analyze. So I don't think that you, we went ahead and did it anyway. As a matter of fact, and I think I've said on the show before that when we were attending the same church, and as a young man, I really didn't have my head in the game. I was kind of all over the map, and her home group leader told her, "Don't marry this guy. He doesn't love you now. He's not going to love you later." And as I said before, that was probably good advice, but she didn't take the advice. But we've managed.
But you work through it, and which is the whole point of marriage.
Which is the whole point of marriage
is to heal and to become one, and to not hold on to your. This is the way I am, and nothing's going to change
me. This is what the personality test said I am, and that's what I'm going to be.
Right. Yeah. That doesn't work for very long in a marriage.
Right.
So we want to move past that this week. And the purpose of marriage, you want to remind us, you've talked about this in your programs before.
So the best foundation for marriage, and as you brought out to Mark a little bit last week when we were maybe talking off air, you know, marriage counseling, they're going to talk about financial responsibility and those. A lot of those things are good. And if you are taking pre-marriage counseling, do take notes so that you can read them later when you're actually going to concentrate on it. Because and so those things are helpful, but nothing takes the place of your willingness and your commitment to change yourself. And to make change and to let that let God speak into your life through that other person and be humble and teachable and changeable.
Change yourself, but God uses that spouse to change you. That's not an excuse for the spouse to think, oh, it's my job to change this person.
Yeah, it really only works like if each person is changing for the other. So I want to change
me for you, not you for me.
Right, yeah.
I don't want to, I'm trying to change you for me. It's the other way. I need to change myself for you.
Yeah.
That's the order.
So one of the difficulties you get into that I find in counseling marriage is kind of the tug of war situation where a person feels like, well, if I give in, he or she will take what I give and then demand more. And so this is why these are things to consider before you get married.
Yeah.
You know, the old thing that's, well, you know, if my husband or my wife tells me to rob a bank, should I obey God or my husband? Well, you should obey your husband or your wife, which is why you should not marry a bank robber, because God expects you, you know. Or some man said, if I lay down my life for my wife, what will keep her from walking all over me? Nothing. Dead men don't have rights. So be careful. This is the time to think about this before you get married, because you do marry your partner, that person's past.
Right.
and your job is to is to be healing. So things to look out for. We want to go through a few of these. You know, there's no magical formula. All these tests that you can take, nothing guarantees your marriage is going to make it. There's no magical formula. The only thing really that's going to guarantee your marriage is going to make it is submission to God, surrender to Christ. Because, you know, it is God's institution. Marriage is in real bad shape today. I was looking at something on the internet the other day. I was surprised. You know, I think that since the gay marriage is now a thing, I think a lot of Christians, we may have kind of like just slumped back and said, okay, well, we sort of lost, but that's as bad as it's going to get. But that's not as bad as it's going to get. It's actually getting worse. And they don't just want, the world doesn't just want gays to be married, say, for example, or they want to dismantle marriage. They want total freedom. They don't want any accountability at all. Yeah. And I think a lot of Christians are maybe asking themselves, well, really, what's the damage? You know, what's the damage being done? You know, if we live together for a while first and then decide later, you know, and so
which is the order for a lot of people now. Mm-hmm. You live together almost mm-hmm. most of the time, over half, I've heard, even of Christian yeah. young people, they live together and then they get married. Mm-hmm. So that is the trend.
And we've lost touch with the whole purpose of marriage. Mm-hmm. And its foundation and the fact that it's anchored in the nature of God. And God doesn't have a flexible nature. He has a pure nature. And so we only really benefit from marriage when we do it His way.
Right.
Otherwise,
His
it
way.
Simply becomes
right.
a human construct.
Right.
And when it becomes a human construct, then it's a reasonable question. Why should we continue if it's
painful?
But when
painful? It's a human construct, that's when you run into the problems.
Exactly.
People wondering why aren't mm-hmm. things working? Because mm-hmm. you're not doing it God's mm-hmm. way.
Right. Things to look out for. I said you're marrying the person's past, and your job is healing, and that's something to really consider. Because I do the genogram and I do the family of origin thing with married couples, and we get back and we discover in the family of origin the parents, the grandparents, and sometimes even if we can go back far enough, the great grandparents, and we find that there's been a narrative in the family.
Mm.
And this young couple that's getting married, or this couple that's getting remarried, they're following a narrative that's very deeply ingrained in their mind, in their brain.
Mm-hmm.
And unless they figure out what that is and how to counter it, they're going to repeat the same mistakes over and over again.
Well, that's why you start off number one here. How does the father treat the mother mm-hmm. In this person's family, and vice versa?
Yeah.
Now, if we've got the advantage of being able to see mm-hmm. the mom and yeah. dad interact.
Now, the way we typically hear that is you'll hear someone counseling the father, counseling the daughter, you know, how does Tom treat his mom? Because that's how he'll treat you, which is not true.
Mm.
Tom will probably treat his mother a lot better than he treats you. How did Tom's dad treat his mother?
Mm.
How did Tom's grandfather treat his grandmother? And we look at other things. You know, there's the saying that the nut doesn't fall far from the tree. So we look in looking at the family of origin. I'm also looking at aunts and uncles, cousins and nieces, and so I'm getting a map of the distancing behaviors that happened in that whole extended family. Because, as I say, you married the person's past. This is an indicator of the problems that you're going to be facing.
Because that's what they've
had
modeled
challenge to them. Is. Exactly.
On how a marriage yeah. works mm-hmm. or doesn't work, they're going right. to have that ingrained.
Yeah.
The next one, what are the siblings mm-hmm. like? Now, why is this so important?
Yeah, well, so I kind of had just gone over that. A lot of times I'll have a couple in and they'll be saying, yeah, they're struggling in their marriage, and then we'll start to go into the family of origin, and they're first going to report that, well, my parents were pretty straight up. You know, mom and dad loved each other, and there weren't any problems, and you know, grandpa and grandpa, everybody loved them, and they were all, and then so it looks like maybe the patterns that I have that I use, maybe it's not working in this case, but the more we talk, the more we realize, and then pretty soon they happen to mention Uncle Jethro, or somebody that's in prison for something, or a niece that's decided she's lesbian or something. So now it begins to unfold, and now we begin to see that maybe there was an uncle that never was able to get a job and was on drugs, or maybe there's a problems further down in cousins or nieces, or maybe grandparents or
this doesn't totally disqualify that candidate for marriage. I mean, everybody has baggage in their family.
Open
your eyes. There's going to be something going on that you don't see right now, and be ready for it.
Yeah, as I said, there's not a formula that guarantees. So, and people that are getting premarriage counseling aren't going to disqualify that marriage because anything you throw up there. But it's something to recognize. Again, you marry the person's past, and these are some of the issues that you're going to be dealing with, because in our family of origin, what we have is our relational distances, the footings and foundations were laid there. Now, that's called the footprint of the building. So if your life is the building, the footprint of your life is not going to vary very much from the way that your parents did. Certainly your personal life experiences are going to add to that here and there and change it here and there. And you can, you know, we all have the responsibility of improving on what our parents could do.
Mm-hmm.
But you still are going to be stuck with healing, helping that person heal from whatever past they came from.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and moving on here, vocations and social habits of parents and grandparents, mm-hmm. and that might kind of move into number four as well, family history of addictions, divorces, mm-hmm. et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of times, it's distancing behaviors, and I should have prefaced this maybe with the show that we aired a couple weeks ago on relationships are distances. So what you're doing when that guy proposes and you accept, or you propose and that gal accepts, what you're really doing is agreeing to a psychological and emotional distance that was modeled in that other person's family of origin, mm-hmm. and modeled for you in your family of origin, and you're intuitively drawn together with people who allow you that same distance. Mm-hmm. I've seen situations where a person who will marry a person who turned out later to say, "Well, I didn't tell you, but I'm gay."
Okay.
Well, so why?
Why did you marry me?
Or why did you marry me? Or why didn't you see that? I had a situation one time, a gal that I was counseling who had come, and she had just been married a short period of time. She was a Christian. She met a Christian man in a bar. Christians drink. That's okay. Met a Christian man in a bar, and she was attracted to him. Now, she had children, and she'd left the children with grandma or a babysitter, and so she went out to get a break, and so she's out in the bar, obviously away from her responsibilities, feeling some relief, not really being particularly careful, maybe, and she meets a man at the bar, and he's a single man, and he's very funny, telling jokes, laughing, and that's very attractive to her because the rest of her day is, you know, the kids, and she's a single mom, and responsibilities and that. So this is like a breath of fresh air. Here's this guy. He's a Christian. That's a plus. He's got a sense of humor. That's a plus. And so they wind up doing this, and they wind up getting married. And shortly after they were married, she started getting in the mail letters from attorneys. And pink slips about foreclosing and coming after her financially because he owed a huge amount of debt. Now, the debt was mostly for attorneys because he had been in prison as a sex offender.
Oh.
Now, she had to move out of the house that she was in because they don't allow sex offenders in that neighborhood.
Mm.
She also, because he was so ashamed of this, she had to fill out his work application. So they're really, really in trouble, and so she's here with her life doubly broken and wondering, why didn't I see this? Mm. Well, the thing is that we intuit about that other person a lot more than we ever cognitively see. As someone said, there's a lot more that we know about one another than we ever realize or that we ever say. You know, we have but we intuit about that other person more than we ever see. Part of what the family of origin studies will do is open up some of that intuition so that we're able to see it more. But the way that she grew up in her family of origin had kind of predisposed her to be attracted toward men who were emotionally and psychologically unavailable.
Mm.
And he was using humor to keep her at a distance.
And he was even sexually on it. So he would, this is also the same guy who was also turned out to be gay, too, right?
No, this was a different one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, still some problems going on, a sex offender. Yeah. So, boy, yeah, you can get yourself into a real can of worms.
And these are things that you would not, these are things that people often miss.
Mm.
Now, as he was saying, is there any deal breaker? Well, there probably is a deal breaker, but there, you know, there are a lot of things that you, after the fact, you would find out about the person and you would say, if I had known that, we probably, you know, would not have been married.
Well,
but it's what you do with it.
Yeah, the best foundation for marriage. I mean, even that kind of a situation, God can do healing and do...
takes a tremendous amount of courage, but
it can be
he's
done.
The God of the impossible.
Yeah, you bet. Well, if people are needing some counseling, whether it's marital counseling, individual counseling, some life coaching, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
They can call 425-778-6169. And also, you can contact me by email through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
More details as well at KCISRadio.com. When we come back with more of the Foundations for Marriage, we'll be looking a little bit at 1 Corinthians 7, which has some interesting prescriptions for marriage from the Bible, as we return with Sound Mind and Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, interesting discussion this week, the best foundations for marriage. We'll be getting to a little bit of 1 Corinthians 7, not 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter, but 1 Corinthians 7, one that they probably don't read at the marriage ceremony very often. We always hear 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, but 1 Corinthians 7 has a lot more practical. This is the reality,
comes later.
The reality of what marriage is like. But you wanted to talk a little bit more about some things to look out for.
I do want to hit a couple things. Again, in the family of origin discussions that I have with people, that we do go into the behaviors of parents and grandparents because, again, those are the footings and the foundations on which my life is built. And so there could be a problem back there that I, you know, I don't even think that it's part of my problem, but it reflects a value that was taught in that family of origin. And so those come down. You know, I say to parents, you know, that you can't pass on the values you wish you had. You can only pass on the values that you have, and you always pass on your values. Mm-hmm. And to kids, I would say your parents didn't pass on the values they wish they had. They passed on the values they have. And a lot of times the values that we wish we had are not the values that we have. Mm-hmm. And so, so we look at the family of origin that way. Another thing to ask, I think, for gals and guys to when they're young and getting married, is that other person mature? How are they around other mature people? You know, so for a gal, you know, you're watching this guy and you're taking into mind, how is he around mature men that are older than he? Mm. It's one thing to be, you know, okay with your peers, but how does that young man behave around men that are older? How is he comfortable with mature men? Because if he's not, he might have a little bit of a Peter Pan thing going on. You know, I don't want to grow up. And the same with the gal. You know, how is she around mature women? Does she avoid those relationships, or is she okay with that? Because those are indicators that the person is not really ready to take on responsibilities of life. Maybe not quite ready yet. So,
Do they avoid challenging relationships?
Challenges in relationships. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing to look at, you know, seriously at is, is this, you know, practical things. You know, if this guy or this gal is not a hard worker, if they avoid challenges or avoid relationships that are challenging to them. That's again not a deal breaker, but it's something that's going to have to change in the relationship, yeah. Because it will represent distance between the two of you.
I think this is a good one. Is he or she teachable and humble? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
somebody who's just is so entranced into their situation, into their point of view. Yeah. Won't change. That's a red flag.
And a lot of times that will come out in a dating situation, but we allow the other person, we almost enable the other person. Gals might do that a lot. Well, the guy wants to talk a lot, so they'll take a back seat. And if they try to say something or have an opinion, he'll override that, maybe in a politer or a humorous way. But you want to look and see, is the person really teachable, or, say, for example, at the church, is he always critical or is she always critical of what's being taught or said, or do they sort of person that realizes that you can teach and you can learn from anyone, mm-hmm. That sort of thing.
Well, another one on here that it seems to go without saying, but so often it is not the case, is he or she comfortable with God?
Mm-hmm.
Is the person you're interested in a Christian?
Yeah,
as Christians, that's pretty important. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard of missionary dating. I have some family who every guy they married wasn't a Christian, but it worked out. But it's something probably you don't want to do.
Yeah. Are they comfortable in worship? And a lot of times the people that have like a musician's or artistic sort of bent will be comfortable in worship. In fact, maybe they do worship very well, but maybe some of these other areas are where the concerns show up. Avoiding mature relationships, avoiding challenges, but okay when it comes to worship and praise and
spiritual
music.
Spiritual authority,
and art,
maybe somebody correcting doctrinal issues. Mm-hmm. If somebody's really reticent about that might be a red flag. Not that we all have to be the same doctrinally, but somebody who, again, not teachable, not open to at least discussing maybe some way out idea they have.
And a student of the Scripture. Is this a person who is comfortable studying the Scripture and coming up with, getting God speak to them out of the Scripture? Spiritual leadership, a lot of times we think of spiritual leadership as the first one to pray and the first one to crack open the Bible and that. But spiritual leadership is leading in a lot of different ways, leading in compassion, leading in empathy, leading certainly in prayer, but not leading, does this person do it in their own life? Not just, I had a lot of situations, and in fact, in my own marriage, there was a period of time where I was kind of like upset with my wife because we didn't pray together. And she hit me right between the eyes one time with, I'm not stopping you from praying. And then that's when I realized, that's really the problem is not that we're not praying together. The first problem is I'm not spending a lot of time just in prayer. Mm. And I'm sort of blaming her for it because she's not dragging me, along. So, spiritual leadership, what does a person do on their own? We wanted to talk a little bit. One of the big things that comes up is, and I see it after marriage too, is the idea of sexual intimacy. And we've talked a lot about this before. Obviously, sexual attraction is one of the big things that happens in people moving toward marriage. Not all the time. It's not 100% of the time at all. But it is often, and I've heard even after marriage that there's trouble because he's not giving himself to her, or she's not giving herself to him. And there's even people that have, had affairs and used that as an excuse. Mm-hmm. You're not meeting my needs. And so people need to recognize that, again, you're marrying the person's past. And if this is a situation where one person is sexually demanding, the scripture in Corinthians isn't there so that a person who is sexually demanding gets it all their way.
As we move into 1 Corinthians 7, real practical instruction here. Now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man to not touch a woman, but because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife and each woman is to have her own husband.
Now the touching there, one person said that it's a euphemism for sexual touching. Not necessarily. It's the same word. Word's only used twice in the New Testament. And one of those usages is here, and the other one is when people were reaching out to touch Jesus. Hmm. So it's not sexual touching, but it's definitely touching with the intent of some kind of spiritual exchange. And so there's an oversensitivity there. And so that's what Paul's warning about. Don't even get, when you're reaching out to touch someone, if you feel that kind of like an electric buzz or something where there's, you know, more than just you're tapping them on the shoulder to get their attention. That's something different. But it's not just sexual. But then he goes on to say.
And you've underlined this part here.
Mm-hmm. Husband. So the husband must fulfill his duty to the wife and likewise also the wife to the husband. And then he goes on and says that the wife doesn't have authority over her own body or the husband over his own body, but that your body belongs to that other person. But that does not mean that if a person is was born and raised in a very dysfunctional home, like I've talked to clients who their parents walked around naked in the home or in their underwear. And so obviously that's an area in their life that's going to have to change because when they get married, their expectations of what a healthy sexual life relationship should be is very skewed. And or a person that's been sexually abused can come into a relationship and it, say a woman that has been sexually abused for a long period of her life and then she gets married, the sexual relationship is going to be something that's very troubling to her. And if the husband tries to push that, it's just going to make matters worse. So you marry the person's past. There are a lot of things to consider. It's not just so cut and dried as now that's a whole topic in and of itself, and I did something sometime back on sex and marriage, but yeah, that's
but,
a whole
but the way. Idea here in this section of Corinthians is that when you get married, you are responsible in the sexual realm for your spouse, not just yourself, but you're responsible to build that sexual relationship in a way that's mutual between
and I think a lot of times counseling is very important to get that going in this in a healthy way. Yeah.
Well, always good stuff here. We obviously could keep going on this, but that's a great section to read in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If people need some marital counseling, whether marital together or one-on-one, and or maybe some life coaching, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
My phone number is 425-778-6169, and people can also get me through the website, where these podcasts are, by the way, at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
More details as well at KCISradio.com. This has been Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.